Richard Matheson. Episode 1. At 11:32 a.m., man passed the truck. He was heading west en route to San Francisco. It was Thursday and unseasonably hot for April. He had his suit coat off, his tie removed, and shirt collar opened, his sleeve cuffs folded back. There was sunlight on his left arm and on part of his lap. He could feel the heat of it through his dark trousers as he drove along the two-lane highway. For the past 20 minutes, he had not seen another vehicle going in either direction. Then he saw the truck ahead, moving up a curving grade between two high green hills. He heard the grinding strain of its motor and saw a double shadow on the road. The truck was pulling a trailer. As he drew behind it on the grade, he edged his car towards the opposite lane. The road ahead had blind curves, and he didn't try to pass until the truck had crossed the ridge. He waited until it started around a left curve on the downgrade, then, seeing that the way was clear, pressed down on the accelerator pedal and steered his car into the eastbound lane. He waited until he could see the truck front in his rearview mirror before he turned back into the proper lane. At the bottom of the hill, he crossed a concrete bridge and, glancing to the right, saw a dry stream bed strewn with rocks and gravel. As the car moved off the bridge, he saw a trailer park set back from the highway to his right. How can anyone live out here? He thought. His shifting gaze caught sight of a pet cemetery ahead, and he smiled. Maybe those people in the trailers wanted to be close to the graves of their dogs and cats. The highway ahead was straight now. Man drifted into a reverie, the sunlight on his arm and lap. He wondered what Ruth was doing. The kids, of course, were in school and would be for hours yet. Maybe she was shopping. He visualized her in the supermarket and wished he were with her instead of starting on another sales trip. Hours of driving yet before he'd reach San Francisco. 3 days of hotel sleeping and restaurant eating. Hoped for contacts and likely disappointments. He sighed, then switched on the radio. He revolved the tuning knob until he found a station playing soft, innocuous music. He hummed along with it, eyes almost out of focus on the road ahead. He started as the truck roared past him on the left, causing his car to shudder slightly. He watched the truck and trailer cut in abruptly for the westbound lane and frowned as he had to brake to maintain a safe distance behind it. "What's with you?" he thought. He eyed the truck with cursory disapproval. It was a huge gasoline tanker pulling a tank trailer, each of them having 6 pairs of wheels. He could see that it was not a new rig, but was dented and in need of renovation. Its tanks painted a cheap-looking silvery color. Man wondered if the driver had done the painting himself. His gaze shifted from the word flammable printed across the back of the trailer tank, red letters on a white background, to the parallel reflector lines painted in red across the bottom of the tank, to the massive rubber flaps swaying behind the rear tires, then back up again. The reflector lines looked as though they'd been clumsily applied with a stencil. The driver must be an independent trucker, he decided, and not too affluent a one from the looks of his outfit. He glanced at the trailer's license plate. It was a California issue. Man checked his speedometer. He was holding steady at 55 miles an hour. The truck driver must have done a good 70 to pass him so quickly. That seemed a little odd. Weren't truck drivers supposed to be a cautious lot? He grimaced at the smell of the truck's exhaust and looked at the vertical pipe to the left of the cab. It was spewing smoke, which clouded darkly back across the trailer. Christ, he thought. With all the furore about air pollution, why do they keep allowing that sort of thing on the highways? He scowled at the constant fumes. They'd make him nauseated in a little while. He knew. Well, he couldn't lag back here like this. Either he slowed down or he passed the truck again. He didn't have the time to slow down. He'd gotten a late start. Keeping it at 55 all the way, he'd just about make his afternoon appointment. As he passed the truck, he glanced at it. The cab was too high for him to see into. All he caught sight of was the back of the truck driver's left hand on the steering wheel. It was darkly tanned and square-looking, with large veins knotted on its surface. He pulled back over to the proper lane and looked ahead again. The truck driver gave him an extended horn blast. What was that, he wondered. A greeting or a curse? He grunted with amusement. The front fenders of the truck were a dingy purple color. The paint faded and chipped. Another amateurish job. All he could see was the lower portion of the truck. The rest was cut off by the top of his rear window. He looked to the front again, past the sign printed in jagged block letters on a piece of plywood. Nightcrawlers. Bait. What the hell is a nightcrawler? He wondered. It sounded like some monster in a low-grade Hollywood thriller. The unexpected roar of the truck made his gaze jump to the rearview mirror. By God, the guy was passing him again. Man turned his head to scowl at the leviathan form as it drifted by. He tried to see into the cab, but couldn't because of its height. What's with him, anyway, he wondered. What the hell are we having here, a contest? See which vehicle can stay ahead the longer? He thought of speeding up, but changed his mind. When the truck and trailer started back into the westbound lane, he let up on the pedal. If he hadn't slowed down, he would have been prematurely cut off again. What's with this guy, he thought. The odor of the truck's exhaust reached his nostrils again. Irritably, he cranked up the window. Damn it! Was he going to have to breathe that crap all the way to San Francisco? He couldn't afford to slow down. He had to meet Forbes at 3:15, and that was that. At least there was no traffic complicating matters. Man pressed down on the accelerator pedal, drawing close behind the truck. When the highway curved enough to the left to give him a completely open view of the route ahead, he jarred down on the pedal, steering out into the opposite lane. The truck edged over, blocking his way. For several moments, all man could do was stare at it in blank confusion. Then, with a startled noise, he braked, returning to the proper lane. The truck moved back in front of him. It had to be a coincidence. The truck driver couldn't have blocked his way on purpose. He waited for more than a minute, then flicked down the turn indicator lever to make his intentions perfectly clear and, depressing the accelerator pedal, steered again into the eastbound lane. Immediately, the truck shifted, barring his way. Man was astounded. This was unbelievable. He'd never seen such a thing in 26 years of driving. He returned to the westbound lane, shaking his head as the truck swung back in front of him. He eased up on the gas pedal, falling back to avoid the truck's exhaust. Now what, he wondered. He still had to make San Francisco on schedule. Why hadn't he gone a little out of his way in the beginning, so he could have traveled by freeway? This damned highway was 2-lane all the way. Impulsively, he sped into the eastbound lane again. To his surprise, the truck driver did not pull over. Instead, the driver stuck his left arm out and waved him on. Man started pushing down on the accelerator. Suddenly, he let up on the pedal with a gasp and jerked the steering wheel around, raking back behind the truck so quickly that his car began to fishtail. He was fighting to control its zigzag whipping when a blue convertible shot by him in the opposite lane. Man caught a momentary vision of the driver glaring at him. The car came under his control again. My God, he thought. He wanted me to hit that car head on. The realization stunned him. True, he should have seen to it himself that the road ahead was clear. That was his failure. But to wave him on. Man felt appalled and sickened. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, he thought. This was really one for the books. That son of a bitch had meant for not only him to be killed, but a totally uninvolved passerby as well. Why? Man tried to calm himself and rationalize the incident. Maybe it's the heat. Maybe the truck driver had a tension headache or an upset stomach. Maybe he'd had a fight with his wife. Man tried in vain to smile. There could be any number of reasons. Reaching out, he twisted off the radio. The cheerful music irritated him. He drove behind the truck for several minutes, his face a mask of animosity. As the exhaust fumes started putting his stomach on edge, he forced down his right hand on the horn bar and held it there. He pushed in the accelerator pedal all the way and steered into the opposite lane. The movement of his car was paralleled immediately by the truck. Man stayed in place, right hand jammed down on the horn bar. Get out of the way! He felt the muscles of his jaw hardening until they ached. There was a twisting in his stomach. Damn! He pulled back quickly to the proper lane, shuddering with fury. You miserable son of a bitch, he muttered, glaring at the truck as it shifted back in front of him. What the hell is wrong with you? I pass your rig a couple of times and you go flying off the deep end? Are you nuts or something? He wondered what Ruth would think of all this, how she'd react. Probably she'd start to honk the horn and would keep on honking it, assuming that, eventually, it would attract the attention of a policeman. Just where were the policemen out here anyway? He made a scoffing noise. What policemen? Here in the boondocks? They probably had a sheriff on horseback. He wondered suddenly if he could fool the truck driver by passing on the right. Edging his car towards the shoulder, he peered ahead. No chance. There wasn't room enough. The truck driver could shove him right through that wire fence if he wanted to, and he'd want to, sure as hell. Unexpectedly, the car began to bounce. For several anxious moments, man thought that one of his tires had gone flat. Then he noticed that the paving along this section of highway consisted of pitted slabs with gaps between them. He saw the truck and trailer jolting up and down and thought, I hope it shakes your brains loose. A long, steep hill was looming up ahead. The truck would have to climb it slowly. There would doubtless be an opportunity to pass somewhere on the grade. Man pressed down on the accelerator pedal, drawing as close behind the truck as safety would allow. Then he saw a turnout for the eastbound lane with no oncoming traffic anywhere in sight. Flooring the accelerator pedal, he shot into the opposite lane. The slow-moving truck began to angle out in front of him. Face stiffening, man steered his speeding car across the highway edge and curved it sharply on the turnout. Clouds of dust went billowing up behind his car, making him lose sight of the truck. His tires buzzed and crackled on the dirt, then, suddenly, were humming on the road once again. He glanced in the mirror and a barking laugh erupted from his throat. He'd only meant to pass. The dust had been an unexpected bonus. Let the bastard get a sniff of something rotten smelling in his nose for a change. He honked the horn elatedly, a mocking rhythm of bleats. He swept across the summit of the hill. A striking vista lay ahead. Sunlit hills and flatland. A corridor of dark trees. Quadrangles of cleared-off acreage and bright green vegetable patches. Far off in the distance, a mammoth water tower. Man felt stirred by the panoramic sight. Lovely, he thought. Reaching out, he turned the radio back on and started humming cheerfully with the music. Seven minutes later, man looked at the rearview mirror and felt himself go cold with fear. The truck was hurtling down the hill, pursuing him. He glanced at the speedometer. He was doing more than 60. On a curving downgrade, that was not at all a safe speed to be driving, yet the truck must be exceeding that by a considerable margin. It was closing the distance between them so rapidly. Man swallowed, leaning to the right as he steered his car around a sharp curve. Is this man insane? He saw a turnoff half a mile ahead and decided that he'd use it. He stamped down on the gas pedal and his tires screeched unnervingly as he wheeled around another curve, thinking that, surely, the truck would have to slow down there. He groaned as it rounded the curve with ease, only the sway of its tanks revealing the outward pressure of the turn. Man bit trembling lips together as he whipped his car around another curve. A straight descent now. He depressed the pedal farther, glanced at the speedometer. almost 70 miles an hour. He wasn't used to driving this fast. In agony, he saw the turnoff shoot by on his right. He couldn't have left the highway at this speed. Anyway, he'd have overturned. What was wrong with that son of a bitch? Man honked his horn in frightened rage. Cranking down the window, he shoved his left arm out to wave the truck back. Back, he yelled. He honked the horn again. Get back! Get back! The truck was almost on him now. He's going to kill me, Man thought, horrified. He honked the horn repeatedly, then had to use both hands to grip the steering wheel as he swept around another curve. He flashed a look at the rearview mirror. He could see only the bottom portion of the truck's radiator grill. He was going to lose control. He felt the rear wheels start to drift and let up on the pedal quickly. The tire treads bit in. The car leaped on, regaining its momentum. Man saw at the bottom of the grade ahead, and in the distance there was a building with a sign that read Chuck's Cafe. The truck was gaining ground again. This is insane, he thought, enraged and terrified at once. The highway straightened out. He floored the pedal. 74 now. 75. Man braced himself, trying to ease the car as far to the right as possible. He began to brake, then swerved to the right, raking his car into the open area in front of the cafe. He cried out as the car began to fishtail, then careered into a skid. Steer with it, screamed a voice in his head. The rear of the car was lashing from side to side, tires spewing dirt and raising clouds of dust. Man pressed harder on the brake pedal, turning further into the skid. The car began to straighten out, and he braked harder yet, conscious on the sides of his vision of the truck and trailer roaring by on the highway. He nearly sideswiped one of the cars parked in front of the cafe, bounced and skidded by it, going almost straight now. He jammed in the brake pedal as hard as he could. The rear end broke to the right, and the car spun half around, shearing sideways to a neck-wrenching halt 30 yards beyond the cafe. Man sat in pulsing silence, eyes closed. His heartbeats felt like club blows in his chest. He couldn't seem to catch his breath. If he were ever going to have a heart attack, it would be now. After a while, he opened his eyes and pressed his right palm against his chest. His heart was still throbbing laboredly. No wonder, he thought. It isn't every day I'm almost murdered by a truck. He raised the handle and pushed out the door, then started forward, grunting in surprise as the safety belt held him in place. Reaching down with shaking fingers, he depressed the release button and pulled the ends of the belt apart. He glanced at the cafe. What had its patrons thought of his breakneck appearance, he wondered. He stumbled as he walked to the front door of the cafe. "Truckers welcome," read a sign in the window. It gave Man a queasy feeling to see it. Shivering, he pulled open the door and went inside, avoiding the sight of its customers. He felt certain they were watching him, but he didn't have the strength to face their looks. Keeping his gaze fixed straight ahead, he moved to the rear of the cafe and opened the door marked Gents. Moving to the sink, he twisted the right-hand faucet and leaned over to cup cold water in his palms and splash it on his face. There was a fluttering of his stomach muscles he could not control. Straightening up, he tugged down several towels from the dispenser and patted them against his face. He regarded himself in the wall mirror. "Still with us, man," he thought. He nodded, swallowing. Drawing out his metal comb, he neatened his hair. "You never know. You just never know. You drift along year after year, presuming certain values to be fixed, like being able to drive on a public thoroughfare without somebody trying to murder you. You come to depend on that sort of thing. Then something occurs, and all bets are off. One shocking incident, and all the years of logic and acceptance are displaced, and suddenly, the jungle is in front of you again. Man, part animal, part angel." Where had he come across that phrase? He shivered. It was entirely an animal in that truck out there. His breath was almost back to normal now. Man forced a smile at his reflection. "All right, boy," he told himself. "It's over now. It was a nightmare, but it's over. You're on your way to San Francisco. You'll get yourself a nice hotel room, order a bottle of expensive scotch, soak your body in a hot bath, and forget." He turned and walked out of the washroom. He He jolted to a halt, his breath cut off. Standing rooted, heartbeat hammering at his chest, he gaped through the front window of the cafe. The truck and trailer were parked outside. Man stared at them in unbelieving shock. It wasn't possible. He'd seen them roaring by at top speed. The driver had won. He'd won. He'd had the whole damn highway to himself. Why had he turned back? Man looked around with sudden dread. There were 5 men eating. 3 along the counter, 2 in booths. He cursed himself for having failed to look at faces when he'd entered. Now there was no way of knowing who it was. His legs began to shake. Abruptly, he walked to the nearest booth and slid in clumsily behind the table. Now wait, he told himself, just wait. Surely he could tell which one it was. Masking his face with the menu, he glanced across its top. Was it that one in the khaki work shirt? Man tried to see the man's hands but couldn't. His gaze flicked nervously across the room. Not that one in the suit, of course. 3 remaining. That one in the front booth, square-faced, black-haired. If only he could see the man's hands, it might help. One of the 2 others at the counter. Why hadn't he looked at the faces when he'd come in? Now wait, he thought. All right, the truck driver was in here. That didn't automatically signify that he meant to continue this insane duel. Chuck's Cafe might be the only place to eat for miles around. It was lunchtime, wasn't it? The truck driver had probably intended to eat here all the time. He'd just been moving too fast to pull into the parking lot before, so he'd slowed down, turned around, and driven back. That was all. Man forced himself to read the menu. Right, he thought. No point in getting so rattled. Perhaps a beer would help relax him. The woman behind the counter came over, and he ordered a ham sandwich on rye and a bottle of beer. As the woman turned away, he wondered, with a sudden twinge of self-reproach, why he hadn't simply left the cafe, jumped into his car, and sped away. He would have known immediately then if the truck driver was still out to get him. As it was, he'd have to suffer through an entire meal to find out. He almost groaned at his stupidity. Still, what if the truck driver had followed him out and started after him again? He'd have been right back where he started. Even if he'd managed to get a good lead, the truck driver would have overtaken him eventually. It just wasn't in him to drive at 80 or 90 miles an hour in order to stay ahead. True, he might have been intercepted by a California Highway Patrol car. What if he weren't, though? Man repressed the plaguing thoughts. He tried to calm himself. He looked deliberately at the 4 men. Either of 2 seemed a likely possibility as the driver of the truck. The square-faced one in the front booth and the chunky one in the jumpsuit sitting at the counter. He had an impulse to walk over to them and ask which one it was. Tell the man he was sorry he'd irritated him. Tell him anything to calm him down, since, obviously, he wasn't rational, was a manic depressive, probably. Maybe buy the man a beer and sit with him a while to try to settle things. He couldn't move. What if the truck driver were letting the whole thing drop? Mightn't his approach rile him all over again? Man felt drained by indecision. He nodded weakly as the waitress set the sandwich and the bottle in front of him. He took a swallow of the beer, which made him cough. Was the truck driver amused by the sound? He felt a stirring of resentment. What right did that bastard have to impose this torment on another human being? It was a free country, wasn't it? Damn it. He had every right to pass the son of a bitch on a highway if he wanted to. Oh, hell, he mumbled. He tried to feel amused. He was making entirely too much of this, wasn't he? What was to prevent him from calling the local police and telling them the situation? But then he'd have to stay here, lose time, probably lose a sale. What if the truck driver stayed to face them? Naturally, he'd deny the whole thing. What if the police believed him and didn't do anything about it? After they'd gone, the truck driver would undoubtedly take it out on him again, only worse. The sandwich tasted flat, the beer unpleasantly sour. Why was he just sitting here like this? Why didn't he settle this damn thing once and for all? His left hand twitched so unexpectedly, he spilled beer on his trousers. The man in the jumpsuit had risen from the counter and was strolling towards the front of the cafe. Man felt his heartbeat thumping as the man paid, took his change and a toothpick from the dispenser, and went outside. He watched in anxious silence. The man did not get into the cab of the tanker truck. It had to be the one in the front booth, then. Square face, with dark eyes, dark hair. The man who tried to kill him. Man stood abruptly, letting impulse conquer fear. Eyes fixed ahead, he started towards the entrance. Anything was preferable to sitting in that booth. He stopped by the cash register, conscious of the hitching of his chest as he gulped in air. Was the man observing him, he wondered. He reached shakily into his trouser pocket for change. He heard a coin fall onto the floor and roll away. Ignoring it, he dropped a dollar and a quarter onto the counter. As he did, he heard the man in the front booth get up. An icy shudder spasmed up his neck. Turning quickly to the door, he shoved it open. Seeing on the edges of his vision, the square-faced man approached the cash register. Lurching from the cafe, he started towards his car with long strides. His mouth was dry again. The pounding of his heart was painful in his chest. He started running. He heard the cafe door bang shut. Was that the sound of other running footsteps now? Reaching his car, man yanked open the door and jarred in awkwardly behind the steering wheel. He reached into his trouser pocket for the keys and snatched them out, almost dropping them. His hand was shaking so badly he couldn't get the ignition key into its slot. He whined with mounting dread. Come on! The key slid in. He twisted it convulsively. The motor started and he raced it before slamming it into drive. Depressing the accelerator pedal, he raked the car around and steered it towards the highway. Out the corner of his eye, he saw the truck and trailer being backed away from the cafe.